Last week, just an introduction to a new series that we're just getting launched on. I suggested that if you say what you should say about God and about the human person, that the world is not going to agree with you and the world isn't going to like you. That if you say what you should say about God and if you say what you should say about the human person, the world's going to respond to you the same way it responded to Jesus. And I think it's important for us to be prepared for what happens when you go against the world. I am very concerned for what happens if, because of Christ, you get negative consequences from the world. I'm concerned about how you respond to that. That if because of Christ you get negative consequences, the world says you can't have our goodies if you're going to say that about God, if you're going to say that about the human person, I'm concerned about how we will respond. Because we will be very tempted to just say, well, wait a minute, let me rephrase what I am saying about God and what I'm saying about the human person. Many are not going to be willing, are not going to be able to accept the disapproval of the world and the consequences of the world's disapproval. So I think we need to be prepared. So I'm suggesting to us that one, a person cannot both say what is true about God and the human person and please the world. I can't do both of those things. You can't do both of those things. You can't say what's true about God, about the human person, and please the world. You have to choose. I have to choose. You say what's true about God, you say what's true about the human person, the world will not accept you. You want to be accepted from the world, you're going to have to say stuff about God that's untrue. You're going to have to say stuff about the human person that's not true. That's my suggestion. You can't do both of those things. Implicit in that suggestion, of course, is the conviction that you cannot let the world teach you what to say about God. And you cannot let the world teach you what to say about the human person. If you let the world teach you what to say about God and the human person, you won't learn what is true and right about God or about the human person. Though obviously, of course, if you let the world teach you what to say about God and the human person, you won't end up holding any views that the world disapproves of. Because the world will teach you to say what it approves of, what it agrees with. And it's very easy. It's very easy in our time to let the world teach you about everything. You just Google it, right? Read about it on the internet. Just anything. It's easy to let the world teach you about anything. I mean, they're good people. Some of them got PhDs and they're sincere and they're smart. And they've thought it through and they've analyzed it and they've written essays. It's easy to let the world teach you about everything. What to say about any topic under heaven. And of course, the world will teach you what to say about heaven. But I want to encourage all of us. If you're younger, I want to especially encourage you. Let the scriptures script what you understand about God and what you understand about the human person. Let what you understand be scripted, not by the academy, not by political parties, not by sociologists or psychologists, or experts in the field, let what you understand about God and what you understand about the human person be scripted by the scriptures. Be taught from them and speak on the basis of what the scriptures say. So we want to consider what is right to say about God and what's right to say about the human person. And from time to time, we'll pick up, kind of like if you say the things that are right about God and a human person, what are you going to do with the disapproval of the world? So we'll keep coming back to that throughout the series. But we want to consider, well, so what's the right thing to say about God, about the human person? We want to start with things that should be said about God. And we want to use the Lord's Prayer to direct, to inform our thought and our understanding. The Lord's Prayer is given to us by Jesus as what people should say when they pray to God. So the Lord's Prayer touches the issues that we encounter in dealing with God. It's interesting in Matthew, when Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, he says, pray in this manner, almost like the Lord's Prayer is an example. In Luke says, say these words. So you have scriptural warrant to both just literally say the prayer, like we just sang, like we just prayed. But also the prayer connects us up to issues that we deal with God that we should speak to God about when we pray. So we're going to use the Lord's Prayer. So what's the right thing to say about God? Today I also want to consider the opening phrase, our Father who is in heaven. And I want to focus especially on the who is in heaven part. A lot to say, of course, about the Our Father, both the plural, the Our, and there's that word Father. But I want to focus today, at least, on the who is in heaven part. If you want to say what is right about God, something that if you do say, the world isn't going to like you, by the way. One of the things you should say is, you know, there's God in heaven. That's what you should say. One of the things you'd say is, don't forget, God is in heaven. It's one of the things each one of us should say. There's frequent reference to heaven in Scripture. Well over 600 references. There's a lot more references to heaven than there is to faith, than there is to love, by the way. Heaven should figure prominently in your worldview. So it's a great word study. Just get a concordance, look up heaven, and start reading verses. Just a great word study. But I think heaven should figure very prominently in your worldview. Figures very prominently in the Scripture's worldview, of course. So what's the significance of heaven? Our Father who is in heaven, what's the significance of the heaven part? So a few thoughts. I mean, we could spend a whole year probably on it. So just a few thoughts. Let's start with this. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on the earth. Therefore, let your words be few. When you say the words, our Father who is in heaven, that's a constant reminder to each of us that God is in heaven and you ain't. God dwells in a place that's beyond me and beyond you, beyond us. God dwells in a place that's inaccessible to us. That should stir in us reverence. That should stir in us humility. All of us need to realize God is not a peer to you. God is not in the same boat as you are in. He's in heaven and you're not. So be careful, is Ecclesiastes' wisdom. You ever done the embarrassing thing of trying to instruct somebody and you find out that that person knows a lot more about the thing than you do? You're trying to explain to the person some elementary math concepts, and then you ask the person, what's your name? And he goes, Albert Einstein. You're trying to explain something about musical composition to this guy who doesn't seem to understand it much. You say, so what is your name? He says, Bach. I go, oops. When you're dealing with God, your elevator does not go to the top floor. I don't mean by that that you're stupid. I mean that when you're dealing with God, you can't get up to where He is. to where he dwells. He's not your peer, and you can just banter back and forth and have a little dialogue with. He's in heaven, and you ain't. NIV think here, I think, has got shut up. To let your words be few, some reverence and some humility. So related to that point, heaven is over all. Everything that takes place on earth takes place under heaven. I live my life under heaven. You live your life under heaven. So here's a couple of verses. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. Heaven is over all. There is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven. Everything that takes place. This is a lead in, of course, to a whole long list, you know, of all the different kinds of events that there are under heaven. Time to laugh, time to cry, time to get married, time to get separated, time to fight, time to make for peace, etc. But everything takes place under heaven. Father in heaven means that everything happens under him. He sees all. He knows all. He watches over all. What you did yesterday, I don't care if you were all by yourself in the dark in your closet. You were under heaven. God sees. God knows. Nothing escapes his notice. Nothing is hid from him. Every person, every nation, every happening, every event takes place under heaven. When the Bible says there is no other name given under heaven by which men can be saved, it means that there is no one else other than Jesus. Heaven is over all. So if there's only one name under heaven, there's only one name. So something that you need to say to the world, you need to say to the world, you are under heaven, and God is in heaven. You live under him. God in heaven sees and knows all. Those first two things, just that God is in heaven, and you ain't. It's not your peer. It's higher than you. And that thought that heaven is just over. Sees. Knows. Both of those things hint at a third thing I want to say, and that's simply this. Heaven rules. Heaven rules. God in heaven, our Father in heaven, reminds us that God is the sovereign Lord who rules. If you're not familiar with the story of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, I'd encourage you to learn that story. Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold of a statue made out of various things that represent human kingdoms through time. Nebuchadnezzar is the top dog. He's the head of gold. No earthly king has ever had more glory, more sovereignty, more power than Nebuchadnezzar had as king of the Babylonian Empire. Whoever he wanted to raise up, he raised up. Whoever he wanted to put down, he put down. He did according to his will throughout his kingdom. God sends him a warning in a dream that Daniel interprets for him. And then when he does not heed the warning, God brings the fulfillment of the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest king like ever, eats grass like a cow for 7 years until he learns the lesson. And what's the lesson? Here's the lesson. You will be given grass to eat like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time will pass over to you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Throughout the story, that phrase just replays back and forth like a refrain. That the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind,
and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump with the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that heaven rules. You might say that Nebuchadnezzar was the first guy to become expert in the field. 7 years in the field, eating grass with time to think, to learn this lesson: heaven rules. Go read the story and you'll find out at the end, he learned the lesson. He says, heaven rules. There are hundreds of references in the Bible referring to heaven that remind us explicitly that God is the sovereign Lord. He is the Almighty. He rules from on high. So here's something you want to say about God that's true about him. Heaven rules. Heaven rules. I hope that soaks into you till it's in the air that you breathe and runs in your blood, that you know that heaven rules. Something related to God ruling that's extremely important to say. It's also extremely opposed in the world right now. It's this: about many things, heaven decides. Heaven determines. Whatever else you might know from the book of Revelation, you should know this: that the things that happened on earth throughout the whole book are determined by what happens in heaven. If you know nothing else about the book, learn that. That what happens on earth is determined by things that take place in heaven. A seal gets broken in heaven, bunch of things happen on earth. Trumpet gets blown in heaven, bunch of things happen on earth. All the things that happen on earth are determined, are decided by things that take place in heaven. Here's one verse. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here. I will show you what must take place after these things. So John has to go to heaven to be shown the things that are going to take place. So it's driven by heaven. Heaven decides. We live in a world, I trust you know, that thinks you get to decide everything. You get to decide everything for yourself. You get to decide everything about your life. Here's a news flash. You don't. You don't get to decide everything about yourself. You don't get to decide everything about your life. You have forgotten God in heaven if you think that. Because heaven decides. Heaven decides things about you. Heaven decides things about your life. Heaven decides what's good and evil, not you and me. Heaven decides what is true and what is not true, not you and me. Heaven decides your gender, not you and me. Heaven decides how many genders there are. Facebook does not decide how many genders there are. You need to know that. I think there's 112 listed now. But Facebook doesn't get to decide how many genders there are. Heaven does. Then poll you and me about our thoughts for our input. Heaven decides. So I want to highlight just one more thing. Heaven is sovereign. Heaven rules. Heaven decides. But also this: heaven cares. God hears from heaven when his people call upon him. Go read the dedication of the temple under Solomon. And throughout the dedication speak is, Lord, when we do this and your people call, then you hear from heaven and answer. Very famous verse that's probably known by some: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and fast and pray, then I will hear from heaven. Heaven cares. God hears from heaven. We're going to touch on that more in other parts of the Lord's Prayer, but I just wanted to note it here. Like, heaven rules and heaven decides, but heaven cares. Lucky for you and me, by the way, right? But heaven cares. And heaven hears those who call. I want to close with this story from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." Centurion has a servant who's ill. Comes to Jesus and implores Jesus. Jesus says, "I'll come and heal him." Centurion says, "I'm not worthy to have you come into my home, but just say the word and that will do it." And then he explains why he knows Jesus just saying the word will be enough. He says he too is a man under authority, and he knows how authority works. He says something and it happens. He says to one, go, and the person goes. He says to another, come, and it comes. He says to a servant, do this, and it gets done. And it says that Jesus marvels at the centurion's faith. It's a very insightful thing. In the Gospels, the only faith that Jesus ever marvels at are people who are not part of Israel. He doesn't do it very often, but here it's a centurion. He says, "I haven't found faith like that in all of Israel." A dimension of faith is recognizing the authority that heaven has, that our Father in heaven has. As we work through the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to try to highlight one or two main applications for each phrase. So for today, saying "our Father who is in heaven," saying "our God who is in heaven," application, I think, testifies to the fact that we believe, that we understand that there are givens for us. There are things that are given. It's a given that you are not a peer to God. You're on earth, he's in heaven. You are not his peer. You can't contend with him, can't relate to him as an equal. That's a given for all of us. You might be the smartest, prettiest, fastest, toughest person in Southern California. You're not God's peer. That's a given. It's given that you live your life seen and known by God. Nothing is hid from him. You live your life under heaven. You can't escape it. God is in heaven, so he sees you, and he knows. You need to know that that's true for you. He sees and knows you. Everything about each one of us. You also need to know that that's true for others. You don't have to worry about Steve getting away with anything. You don't. I know people who are very bothered that they think others get away with stuff. I want you to know that I live under heaven. Steve lives under heaven too. God sees, God knows everything about Steve. Steve isn't going to get away with anything. Neither are you. Nobody escapes God. He's in heaven. He sees all. It's a given. It's a given that God is sovereign over you. Heaven rules. If you just want to get one t-shirt from this Sunday, just put on it, Heaven Rules. Wear that t-shirt. God is sovereign over you. That's a given. When you match up against him, if he's against you, you will lose. You need to know that. And it's a given that God decides things that pertain to you and to your life. God decides. You don't get to decide what marriage is. You don't. God decided. You don't get to decide. The Supreme Court of the United States does not get to decide. God decided. You don't get to decide your gender. God decided that for you and for me, for everybody. God decides. You don't get to decide the outcome of your choices. God decides the outcome of your choices. He's the judge of all. He's in heaven. Sees all, knows all, judges in righteousness. You don't get to decide the outcome. God does. So it's a given to know that God decides. It's a given that heaven has authority over you and over me, over us. That's a given. All heaven has to do is say the word, and it will be so for you. All God would have to do is say the word perish, and you will perish. Heaven has authority over each one of us. That's a given. You need to understand that. You need to believe it to realize that's how it works. If God just says the word, it will be so. If it's a word of mercy, you'll know mercy. If it's a word of condemnation, you will be condemned. So I'm trying to encourage us to say what is true about God. To say what's true about God in the midst of a world that doesn't want to know what's true about God. One thing that we need to say about our God is he is in heaven. And of course, part of what we affirm when we say that, when we say that God is in heaven, is that we recognize that what's true about God is true whether you say it or not. Part of what it means that he's in heaven. What's true about God is true whether you agree or not, whether I agree or not. Heaven does not rule only over those who affirm its rule. God doesn't assume power only after we vote him in, only after we elect him. Heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. When you say he's in heaven, it doesn't matter what Vince Bronson thinks. You know what Vince Bronson knows? What's true of him, irregardless of Vince Bronson. That's the point. Well, Roger has a few difficulties with some of the concepts of sovereignty and whether that blends well with his free choice. Fine, he's still sovereign. Whether Vince Bronson has a problem with free will or not. Heaven rules. Period. Full stop. His rule is absolute. So you need to say, God who is in heaven, Father, who is in heaven. You need to say that to yourself and all that that means for you, that you have a Father who is in heaven. And you need to say, God is in heaven to the world. The world won't like it. You have to say it to a world that wants to build its own tower that reaches to heaven. Go read the story of the Tower of Babel. That's what they wanted to do. We want to make a name for ourselves. We want to build a tower that reaches to heaven. We want to get up there where God is, be a peer to him, and take him down. And it didn't work out so well because heaven interfered. We need to say to the world that God is in heaven. It's not the idols that we create that are able to do whatever they please. But the God who dwells in the heavens, he's able to do whatever he pleases. That's our God. That's our Father. So there's some weighty things there, just some high things. Again, I hope heaven becomes part of your worldview. But there are some high, holy, sovereign, above you. You live under it. It's a given for who you are, for what your life consists of, for what the present holds, for what the future holds. It's given by the God who is in heaven, and you live under that. Part of what we mean when we say that he's the Almighty. Including, I want to remind us, that heaven is able to save those who call upon the one who is in heaven. And if he saves, no one can snatch the saved one out of his hand. So heaven is able to save. So something to say about God. Say it to yourself. Say it to the world. Let's pray together. Father, we want to be people, Father, who are taught by you to know and to say the things that are true of you. Father, teach us what it means that you are in heaven, that you are above us, to rule over us, that we are not peers, don't dwell in the same place, or see the same things, or know the same things. You are the Almighty, Sovereign Lord, Father, who rules over all of your creation. Father, who determines the end from the beginning. Father, who judges all in righteousness. There's nothing hid from you. Father, teach us what it means that you are God, are in heaven. Father, and as we come to this table, Father, may we be nurtured and helped by the salvation that you have sent from heaven. Father, in your great love and your mercy, that you've sent to rescue us, that you've sent to give us life through your Son. Father, we thank you for such rescue, for such salvation. Father, salvation that could not be found, Father, anywhere, Father, by earthly means. From ourselves, not from us together, Father, not from the other side of the globe, but only from you sending your Son from heaven. Father, not to condemn, but to save. Thank you for that gift, and we will partake with thanksgiving. In his name we pray. Amen.